Hello, everyone. Welcome to Spark My Muse. This is Lisa DeLay, and this is Soul School Lesson 84, Time Abstracted. Before I get into the lesson today, I wanted to let you in on a few interesting bits of news. There are a few things I wanted to tell you today. One is that I have revamped the entire website. If you go to sparkmymuse.com, you'll notice that nothing is as it once was, and it's very simplified and very sleek, and there aren't any extras there. You can search for things that you want to find in the search field at the bottom near the footer of the website, and the latest post, the latest audio, is what you'll find at the top when you first go to the website. That's what you'll find, the latest post. And I also want to convince you to sign up for the newsletter. If you go to sparkmymuse.com and you go to, there's a little plus sign, and when you click on that, it'll say get updates. And if you go to get updates, you can get on the newsletter, and the newsletter will be worth $5 because I also have a new store on the website. The store has some fun stuff like mugs and hats and socks and t-shirts, and they have the new logo on them. It's a vintage-inspired logo that Joe Ernst designed, a nice hand-lettered, really cool vintage logo that I wanted to have for the podcast and have something really different than what I've been using so far, because this is a simpler design that will go great on things like shirts and hats, and just even you'll notice a difference in the podcast. You'll see a whole different logo. Maybe you've noticed that already. So check out the stuff at Spark My Muse. Check out the store, the logo, the new features that you'll see at the store, and see what you think. I'd love to hear your feedback. And if you have any problems with the website, or there are any bugs or anything you'd like to see changed, please give me some feedback. I'd love to hear from you on that one. I have another announcement. It's really cool. As a lot of you know who've been following for a while, I have just loved the podcast called On Being, hosted by Krista Tippett and the On Being Studios in Minneapolis. And they have decided to do some teaching and have a gathering in February. And they put out this notice, everybody could apply to go to this special gathering, this special program at a place in California called 1440 Multiversity. It's a place that's like a retreat center, but there's also ways you can learn, like classroom areas, and there's yoga and other things there. You're fed there and everything, lodging, and also places where you can have lectures and things like that. So the On Being people will be facilitating that program and bringing in all kinds of people like Seth Godin and Maria Popova and David White and Parker Palmer, some of my just favorite people that they've had on the show and just favorite people who I've read their books. And so I applied to this and I thought I would never get picked, of course, because there's going to be a lot of people, maybe over 1,000 people trying to apply for it. And I felt like I really wouldn't get picked, but I really wanted to give it my best shot. And then they sent out a letter and it said, we don't have everybody decided yet because there have been 3,500 people who applied. So at that point, I thought, well, that was fun, but of course I'm not going to be picked if there were 3,500 people who applied. That's just ridiculous. And there have to be some really, really amazing people doing really, really amazing work out there who will deserve that spot way more than I will. But on September 29th, I got informed that I was selected, and I'll get to go on President's Day weekend out there to California in the Redwoods and learn from all these great leaders and learn from Krista and Trent Gillis and all of the crew at On Being Studios. And I was just completely flabbergasted. I just screamed for joy, and I was over the moon, just crazy with excitement. And I got a scholarship to go because I'm financially impaired, so that the scholarship covers the program, which is about $600. But I'm still in financial peril to go. I could really use some help funding that. That's going to be in February, so I will be saving up. If you feel led to donate for that, my expenses will probably be about $1,500 to go, because flying out to California from Pennsylvania is going to cost about probably $500 each way or so, is what it looks like. And of course, there's other travel expenses included in that. Lodging is about $600, $620, I guess. That really adds up. And if you feel like donating to help me fund that, the rest of the cost for that, I would really appreciate it. You can go to sparkmymuse.com, and I have a PayPal donate button, which all those funds would go toward getting me there and getting me back. Going to that gathering will really influence my program, and I will be sharing everything I've learned here with you, and all of us will benefit from that. I'm so excited to go, and I really hope that I can make it out and be a part of that, and you will benefit from that, and I hope that you can sponsor me to go. Next week on the show, I want to give you a little preview. Hillary McBride will be my guest. She is fantastic. She's a therapist and a clinician, and she has written a book on mothers and daughters and body image. It's really fantastic. Read the whole thing, and I was blown away, just blown away by it. It's a fantastic book, and we're going to be talking in depth about some of those topics and what we pass down as mothers, what mothers pass down to us. It's fascinating read, and just full of case studies and a lot of interesting things about how we view ourselves in the world. So if you know a mother or a daughter, if you are a mother or a daughter, I think you'll find that really fascinating next week. So what I'm going to do today is talk a little bit about time as it relates to a poem by T.S. Eliot. And right now it's autumn where I am here in eastern Pennsylvania, right near the Appalachian Trail. There's a lot of hills, and it's starting to get very beautiful. The leaves are changing into golds and oranges, and all of the green is starting to shift into these other colors. And I'm noticing the shift of time and the shift of weather. And this summer, we had a very wet and mild summer. We hardly had any hot spells, as we normally do in late July and August. We have usually 3 weeks of sort of the dog days of summer, which are sweltering, and inside our house, it's usually in the upper 90s for a little while. That did not happen this summer at all. We had a very wet summer and a mild summer, which was very enjoyable. But that will change how fall is, too. So fall should have very gorgeous colors, and we might head into a more wet fall and maybe a wet winter as well, which will mean a lot more snow. And I was thinking about how we encounter the passage of time, how we encounter this abstraction of looking into the past as time goes by and looking into the future as also an abstraction of time. These two places don't exist. The only thing that exists is the present. And we can look at pictures of the past or videos, and it's this captured thing that is a record of something that doesn't exist anymore. It's a really strange, it's like a ghost. When I came across this poem written by T.S. Eliot, he lived from 1888 until 1965. I thought it was a fascinating work. I had never read this before. And it's an enchanting ode to the nature of time. It's called Burnt Norton, and it is the first of four quartets, which were eventually included in his collection of poems. And as I read this, I'll read it rather slowly. Hopefully you can savor these words and pull them in for your own reflection on time and the nature of time and how you encounter it in its abstractions and in how it comes past you in your day. You start out the day in the morning and time lays out there before you, but sometimes it passes without our knowing it, and sometimes it lays out in front of us as we're waiting for something, and it just goes on and passes very slowly. But as human beings who age and who change with time, we experience it, you know, as this measured thing that has a profound effect on our lives, and yet it remains abstract too. So T.S. Eliot writes about this nature of time, which is, in a sense, such a strange thing to perceive as a human being, and our ability to plan for the future and to notice how time passes, especially if you live in a place that changes a lot over the seasons. It has four seasons and has different weather patterns. Usually in October, there's a lot of storms that roll in and there's a lot of fog in the morning. You notice how much the seasons change and the weather changes at the change of seasons too. So I'll begin. Time present and time past are both perhaps present in time future, and time future contained in time past. If all time is eternally present, all time is unredeemable. What might have been is an abstraction, remaining a perpetual possibility, only in a world of speculation. What might have been and what has been point to one end, which is always present. Footfalls echo in the memory, down the passage which we did not take, toward the door we never opened, into the rose garden. My words echo thus in your mind. But to what purpose, disturbing the dust on a bowl of rose leaves, I do not know. Other echoes inhabit the garden. Shall we follow? Quick, said the bird, find them. Find them, round the corner, through the first gate, into our first world shall we follow. The deception of the thrush, into our first world. There they were, dignified, invisible, moving without pressure, over the dead leaves, in the autumn heat, through the vibrant air. And the bird called in response to the unheard music hidden in the shrubbery, and the unseen eye beam crossed, for the roses had the look of flowers that are looked at. There they were as our guests, accepted and accepting, so we moved, and they, in a formal pattern, along the empty alley, into the box circle, to look down into the drained pool. Dry the pool, dry concrete, brown-edged, and the pool was filled with water out of sunlight. And the lotus rose quietly, quietly. The surface glittered out of heart of light. And they were behind us, reflected in the pool. Then a cloud passed, and the pool was empty. Go, said the bird, for the leaves were full of children, hidden excitedly, containing laughter. Go, 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 said the bird. Humankind cannot bear very much reality. Time past and time future. What might have been and what has been. Point to the end, which is always present. Garlic and sapphires in the mud. Clot the bedded axle tree. The trilling wire in the blood sings below inveterate scars. Appeasing long-forgotten wars, the dance along the artery, the circulation of the lymph, are figured in the drift of stars. Ascend to the summer in the tree, we move above the moving tree, in light upon the figured leaf, and here upon the sodden floor, below the boarhound and the boar, pursue their pattern as before, but reconciled among the stars. At the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor toward, at the still point, there the dance is, but neither a rest nor movement, and do not call it fixity, where the past and the future are gathered, neither movement from nor towards, neither accent nor decline, except for the point, the still point, there would be no dance. There is only the dance. I can only say, there we have been, but I cannot say where. I cannot say how long, for that is to place it in time. The inner freedom from the practical desire, the release from action and suffering, release from the inner, and the outer compulsion, yet surrounded by a grace of sense, a white light still and moving. Erhabung, without motion, concentration, without elimination, both a new world. And the old made explicit, understood, in the completion of its partial ecstasy, the resolution of its partial horror. Yet the enchainment of past and future, woven in the weakness of the changing body, protects mankind from heaven and damnation, which flesh cannot endure. Time past and time future allow but little consciousness. To be conscious is not to be in time, but only in time can the moment in the rose garden, the moment in the arbor where the rain beat, the moment in the draughty church at the smoke fall, be remembered, involved with past and future. Only through time, time is conquered. There is a place of dissatisfaction time before and time after, in a dim light, neither daylight, investing form with lucid stillness, turning shadow into transient beauty, with slow rotation suggesting permanence, nor darkness to purify the soul, emptying the sensual with deprivation, cleansing affection from the temporal, neither plentitude nor vacancy, only a flicker, over the strained, time-ridden faces, distracted from distraction by distraction, filled with fancies and empty of meaning, tumid apathy with no concentration, men and bits of paper whirled by the cold wind that blows before and after time, wind in and out of unwholesome lungs, time before and time after, eradication of unhealthy souls into the faded air, the torpid, driven on the wind that sweeps the gloomy hills of London, Hampstead, and Clerkenwell, Campden and Putney, Highgate, Primrose, Ludgate, not here, not here in the darkness, in this twittering world. Descend lower, descend only, into the world of perpetual solitude. World, not world, but that which is not world. Internal darkness, deprivation, and destitution of all property, desiccation of the world of sense, evacuation of the world of fancy, inoperancy of the world of spirit. This is the one way and the other. This is the same, not in movement, but in abstention from movement while the world moves, in appetency on its mettled ways of time past and time future. Time and the bell have buried the day, and the black cloud carries the sun away. Will the sunflower turn to us? Will the clematis stray down and bend to us, tendril and spray, clutch and cling, chill, fingers of you be curled down on us? After the kingfisher's wing has answered light to light and is silent, the light is still at the still point of the turning world. Words move, music moves, only in time, but that which is only living can only die. Words after speech reach into the silence, only by the form, the pattern, can words or music reach. The stillness, as a Chinese jar still, moves perpetually in its stillness. Not the stillness of the violin, while the note lasts, not that only, but the coincidence. Only say that the end precedes the beginning, and the end and the beginning were always there, before the beginning and after the end, and all is always now. Words strain, crack, and sometimes break under the burden, under the tension, slip, slide, perish, will not stay still. Shrieking voices, scolding, mocking, or merely chattering, always assail them. The word in the desert is the most attacked by voices of temptation, the crying shadow in the funeral dance, the loud lament of the disconsolate chimera. The detail of the pattern is movement. As the figure of the 10 stairs, desire itself is movement, not in itself desirable. Love is itself unmoving, the only cause and end of movement, timeless and undesiring, except in the aspect of time. Caught in the form of limitation, between unbeing and being, sudden in a shaft of sunlight, even while the dust moves, there rises the hidden laughter of children in the foliage. Quick now, here, now, always. Ridiculous the waste, sad time. Stretching before and after. Whew, that was a lot. There was so much to chew on, I hardly even know where to start. And there are so many pieces of that poem I recognize people using and referring to it in little bits here and there as referring to our place in this world and our place in time. I could probably read that again 5 more times and get so many more things out of each passing of that reading. But I hope that something about reading about time can quiet us down to observe it. And I suppose we can only observe it in its passing, but not by being present. Because it seems as though we only understand time when we're looking back at it. What happens when time stands still, in a sense, is that we have lost track of it. And I notice that when I lose track of time for good reasons, like when I'm in the company of people I enjoy and time passes very quickly and I don't have a sense of it, past and future become one thing. Time is eternal at that point. And so time as this abstraction works itself out in so many different ways depending on where we are in our consciousness, in our awareness of it, and in our awareness of each other. And when we're going through a deep and dark struggle at a time of suffering, we can be incredibly present of time. And when we're disconnected from each other, we can be incredibly tuned in to how much time is a punishment for us and how much time beats us down. As we connect with other people, time is less of a burden and an oppressor. So with those thoughts about the passage of time, I'm going to leave a few really thoughtful and deep reflection questions in the show notes. And if you're drawn into thinking about this more seriously, perhaps because you're at a transition period in your life, or maybe you're at some kind of turning point, or thinking about your own aging, or some kind of crossroads, I invite you to go to the show notes for the reflection questions. I do reflection questions in almost every single show notes that I do for every episode every single week. And you can find those at patreon.com/sparkmymuse. It's one of the benefits of supporting the show. At just $1 a month, you get some of these things that keep you digging around in your interior world for the better. And hopefully they give you something to chew on and maybe talk to others about and connect you with other people and connect you richly, hopefully, with yourself and richly with your higher power if you believe in God. And I send out a blessing to you today as the seasons change, if you're in a place where the seasons are changing, but as the seasons change or as you are changing within your context, I give you a blessing that you may be cognizant of those changes within and those movements within, and also those movements within the connections that you have with other people, that you might be cognizant of the time that you spend in the sense that time is eternal when we are deeply connected and rooted with each other. The time can pass very differently in a way that it's not burdensome and oppressive. And my homework is that you are cognizant of those times after they happen in a richer way. If you want to contact me about anything, share your thoughts or your reflections, or just reach out and ask a question, you can email me at contact@sparkmymuse.com. I'm happy to interact with you. Or you can tweet out to me. Spark My Muse has a new Twitter page. It's just on Twitter at SparkMyMuse, or you can just reach out to me personally at Lisa Delay, LisaDelay. I'm really looking forward to meeting a lot of people that have to do with this gathering on being. Hopefully this audience for this show deepens and broadens. And if you are a friend of the show, I ask that you would just share the show with someone else today. It means a lot to me that you're a friend of the show, a supporter of the show, and enjoy it. And I hope it's a blessing to you. I'll see you again next week. Thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm.